next rehearsal, because this time next Sunday will be our Kids at Christmas Nativity. If that's not something to help you get excited about during the week, I don't know what is. One of the high points in the calendar. Just to let you know what's happening, what's going on. First of all, need to say a big thank you to Annette and to Fiona, who ran Twinkle Twinkle Sing Along yesterday and a craft afternoon, which was brilliant. Thank you so much. They had over 50 in at the sing along yesterday, which was absolutely brilliant and wonderful. And they all heard about how good God is, which is great and fantastic. Also, want to say a big thank you to the team that helped set up the church during the week. If you were involved in setting up the church, putting up the Christmas decorations, would you just stand for a little second? Don't be shy now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Really, really appreciate it. Made a long job an awful lot shorter, even though it was still a long job that's happening. Student lunch is going to be meeting after service. I'm going to be meeting in the foyer immediately after that. Attic Youth is on tonight at 6 o'clock. I think they'll probably be having some birthday cake because it's Luke's birthday today. I know. God bless you, Lukester. This coming Friday is going to be the last knit and natter this side of Christmas. So if you've been knitting and nattering, make sure you're along on Friday. Finish off your hats and things like that. Hats for small heads, isn't it, Jean? That's a wee in-joke there that's there. Next Saturday is the ladies' Christmas night. And if you're a lady in church and you want to come along to that, you would need to see Winifred. Want to give a wee wave, Winifred, or Eileen. Yep. And they will gladly take your name and give you all the details. What time's it starting at? At 7 p.m. Not 7:30, but 7 p.m. if you can come along to that one. We showed it a couple of weeks ago. We're just going to show it again, if possible, please, at the back, just our Christmas promo.
Hello everybody. Are you sitting comfortably? Good. Then I'll begin. 'Twas the month before Christmas, and all through the kirk, there was no time for slacking, no hint of a shirk. With Fee in the keyboard and Luke filming the youth, Evelina's counting money, and that is the truth. Hannah's graphics so informative, there is no excuse. With picture and colour, you won't need a sleuth. For you there awaits a feast of delight. Emmanuel, Nativity, and Carols by Night. So check out the details coming up on the screen. Merry Christmas to you on behalf of the team.
Okay, here's what's happening over the next couple of weeks. Next Sunday the 16th, as I said, 11 o'clock, our family and nativity service will be taking place here. Sunday, the following Sunday, the 23rd, we are not meeting at 11 a.m. You get a Sunday morning in your bed. I thought there might have been a little bit more gratitude for that. We were going to do it all the time, but in fact, no, we'll just keep going. Okay, no Sunday morning service because it's hard to do carols by candlelight at 11 o'clock. We're going to do carols by candlelight at 6 p.m. here at the church on Sunday the 23rd. Monday the 24th at 4 p.m. we're going to be having our Christmas Eve service. And then immediately after that, that says 6, but it's likely to be closer to 5. Okay, 5 o'clock, we'll probably have carols by the fire pit that's going to be in the outside, and we will also be giving away some bags of joy to passers-by, which is a brilliant moment. If you've never been here for Christmas Eve at that moment in time, you've got Lothian buses stopping, folks winding down their windows, people passing by being blessed, their socks off, which is good because we'll probably be hanging them up at the fireplace as they're stalking in a few hours by just the gifts that they are giving. So there. Also want to mention our Hug Me Nae at Holy Corner that is taking place. Now, that's going to be taking place on... Why, thank you. Which is the 31st, that's right. It's a free event, but we are going to ticket it. We're ticketing it through Eventbrite. So you need to go onto Eventbrite, and because you're so special that we don't want you to miss out, we've got a code, a password for you to be able to get into the event, because it's a private event. And that code is, are you ready for it? Yeah. Are you in anticipation for it?
Very much.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. It is Elam New Year. I know. It's so obvious it could be missed. Elam New Year, all one word. Okay, it wasn't me. It was somebody else that made that up. But we would love for you to indicate you're going to be able to come. It is a free event. We're going to provide some hot food, but we would love for you to be able to bring some cold things with you when you're going to come. It's going to be 8:45, doors open for 9 p.m. start. We're going to have some Kaylee dancing, so bring your dancing shoes with you. I saw some of you shuffling in the aisles during the worship. That's good. We'll get some Kaylee dancing going as well. There's going to be food. There's going to be a quiz. We're going to have some worship and communion together. And then our hope is that we'll finish about 11:45, put our coats on, go down to Brunsfield Links, and kind of watch the fireworks from the back of the castle. See? Then we can come back up, and if you want to, we can have another half an hour of jigging. Or so, about 11:45, we'll finish, and then we'll begin to think about heading to our beds, unless anybody's going to Queensferry for the Looney Duke. Volunteers? No? Okay, then. But that's what's happening at Hugmanay, and in the Sunday in between Christmas and New Year, we'll be having some bacon rolls in the morning before the service, and making that a time for sharing testimony together on that one. So if you can be thinking about that, planning to be a part of that, but most importantly, if you could get a ticket and go on to Eventbrite and let us know, that would really, really, really help us with an idea for numbers. And please, if you could do that sooner rather than later, again, that would help us with numbers. I don't really want to be at Hugmanay finding out, you know, that there's another 30 people that are coming that then we're going to have to try and find, you know, more food for and things like that. So is that okay? Good. If you need any to find out more details about that, please visit the church website or download the app or email into the office, and loads of ways to be able to connect and find out what's happening. Before we just get into God's word, it would be good, I think, for us to pray. You know, it may have escaped you, but there's a big vote happening in Parliament this coming week. And Prayer for Scotland and other prayer organisations are asking churches to spend a moment praying and asking the Lord for his wisdom for our government, for asking for his will to be done in our land, and asking for his name to be lifted and to be glorified. So we're going to do that. Is that okay?
Yes.
Good. You're likely to be sitting for a wee while, so do you want to stand again just as we pray? You know, and let's enter in together and praying for our nation at this time, and for those who need to make some decisions at this time. Father, your word says that we're to pray for those in authority over us. Lord, that's regardless of political affiliations or anything like that. Lord, we are to pray for those in authority over us. And Father, we join with many Christians up and down the length and breadth of this nation today, praying for our parliament, praying for our politicians, praying for our prime minister. Lord, we are asking that at a time of what seems in many ways to be indecisiveness, to be factions, to be pulling from left and right and upwards and downwards and backwards and forwards and pulling some people inside out with the vote and Brexit and opinions. Lord, we are asking for you to reign and rule sovereignly. Lord, we are asking, Lord, knowing that whatever result happens on Tuesday, it will not take by surprise. Lord, we are asking that there would be wisdom. We are asking, Lord, that we're asking that we would have faith to believe that there might be peace in Parliament, Lord, at this time. Father, we're praying and we're asking, Lord, to see your will be done and your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And we ask for that in government. We ask for that in policy. We ask for that in decisions that would be made in that chamber on Tuesday. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for our nation. We pray, Lord, that in these times that we will be a people who will be praying, interceding for your will to be done in this place. Lord, that we would see your glory resting on our nation once again, that we would see sinners turning back to the Savior, that we would see a nation coming back in alignment with its policies and with its laws, Lord, that would honor you and honor you first. Father, we're asking that we would see a move of your Holy Spirit in government. We're asking, Lord, that a working of that would be seen on the earth and seen in this nation. Lord, we're asking that you would do the things that only you can do in that environment and in that situation. So, Father, we do pray for your hand to be resting on Tuesday. We do pray for your will to be done and not man's. And we do pray, Lord, that we as a church would have confidence in trusting in you, not in people, not in policies. Lord, that we would know your voice at this time. I pray it in the name of Jesus and all God's people said. Amen. 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 If you want to turn up or turn in your Bibles or boot up your tablet, your phone to Luke chapter 1. We're going to read Luke chapter 1 together, part of it. We're going to read the birth of John the Baptist being foretold, starting in verse 5. Our series is The Greatest Gift. Our series that we're looking at and our theme for over Christmas is The Greatest Gift. And we're going to look at the greatest gift of God's promise to us and what that might mean for us. And we're going to find out a little bit about a man who had a prayer request before heaven, a man called Zechariah. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this, that in the time of King Herod in Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well on in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And when the time of the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers towards their children and of the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well on in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered why he'd stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When the time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Amen. The greatest gift. And you know, the greatest gift can come in all shapes and sizes. That's a wee bit better. I can see you now. You're not just blurred. It's all right for the pages, but it's all right. Physical things. They can be experiences. They can be time. They can be commitment. Those greatest gifts. If I was to go around this room this morning and ask you, what's the greatest gift that you've ever received? Lots of you will say different things, different types of things, different styles of things. They can be free. They can be expensive, but until they are received, they're only a promise that's under production. They're a plan that's in the pipeline. A promise in the future is really only an intentional word. It's only in its fulfillment that there comes with it joy, love, and all increased confidence in the future words of the one who uttered the words and uttered the promise in the first place. We all know the impact of what it's like when we're promised something by someone and then it doesn't materialize. This morning, we're thinking about the promise of God towards a world, towards a nation, towards a couple whose own promise fulfillment played a great part in the promise fulfillment. Their promise fulfillment before God, or from God, actually played a part in the promise fulfillment for the nation, for the world, for you and me. And like cogs in a prophetic wheel, interlocking and turning and enabling the promise of God, it happened and occurred in the lives of unlikely people in order to display Father God's greatest gift to each and every one of us, the coming of Messiah, the coming of the Savior, the coming of the Rescuer, the coming of the sin bearer of the world. His name is Jesus. God with us, as Emmanuel would say, and it's out the front. As Zechariah sees his promise fulfilled, he begins to see the promise of the covenant being fulfilled from the Old Testament. You know, I am grateful that God is a God with a plan, aren't you? Yeah. It kind of supersedes and trumps any of my plans. His plan is a big plan. His plan is an eternal plan. His plan is a personal plan. It's a big plan because it involves all of history. It is eternal plan because the fulfillment of it means that you and I can spend forever and ever with God. That heaven is real and heaven is accessible, not based on my actions, my good works, or otherwise, but based entirely on the saving sacrifice of Jesus, the baby who came at Bethlehem but who died as a Christ on the cross at Calvary. And that is for each and every one of us. It is a personal plan. It is for every single one in this room that walks in the streets of Edinburgh and that is alive or has lived in this world. Do not exclude yourself from God's promise. Count yourself in. Come to Him. Receive His love. Accept His forgiveness. Ask for His forgiveness and accept it and live out of that place. Don't exclude yourself. Recently, some of the guys from our church were part of the interchurch street team of the Turning Street Evangelism that was going on. And at the start of December, they were down in Leith. And one of the team, one of the guys from Holy Trinity, Wester Hales, engaged in conversation with this lady. And the testimony came back to us is you know, the start of the turning is, do you know God loves you and has a plan for your life? Is the opening statement of the conversation of, you know, that people are encouraged to share on the street and get into conversation, declare God's love, and give them an invitation to make Jesus their friend, their Lord, their Savior. And this lady said, oh no, God doesn't love me. God doesn't love me. She was so consumed with feeling that she was bound on a road to hell and eternity separate from God. And the guy who was sharing was he implored her. He said, no. He's shown her where in the Bible. He said, hey, listen, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. There are people out there who exclude themselves. There might be people in here who, for whatever reason, want to exclude themselves to receiving God's love, receiving the greatest gift from God, receiving the promise of God. Don't do that. Don't do that. Zechariah, as much of a man of God as he was almost in a moment where he nearly missed it in God. You see, God loves the world so much. It's declared from the moment that God dealt with Adam and Eve's sin back in Genesis. It's communicated through the covenants with Abraham and the rest of the Old Testament patriarchs and fathers that would be there. It is a plan that is of rescue from sin, of repentance, which is taking our responsibility for our actions and saying sorry to God. And it is returning and having that relationship with Him the way that it used to be with Adam and Eve, where they were in close personal relationship with God. Its fulfillment is found in Jesus. God is 100% committed to the promise of His plan. also the plan for his promise in Jesus. You know, the story of Zechariah tells me that God has got a plan, and not even me and not even you can derail it for our lives. God has got a plan for your life. Nudge the person next to you and tell them, let them know. God's got a plan for your life. And not even you and your best or worst day can begin to derail it. Here is the man of God at the high point of his ministry career, yet nursing some disappointment and nursing some shame. Let me tell you what would happen back in before Christ, Israel, is that there was a temple in Jerusalem, the place of God, the place where the nation, the focal point of their worship of the living God. There were 24 priestly divisions of those who were the tribes, originally of the tribes, who were set up specifically to serve in the temple day by day and moment by moment. Now, only 8 of those tribes returned back from exile, but they still split it into 24 divisions. So in each time, each month, that there was a different division who was ready to serve in the temple. And we read there that you get Zechariah, you know, he's of a priestly family. His wife is of a priestly descendant of Aaron. So that was something that within the community would be seen as something that's highly favorable. It's their time, it's their moment, or his time, his moment to be serving in the temple. And there were lots that were drawn so that one person at any time, after the sacrifice outside, in the holy place, because you'd a temple where there's a big courtyard where offerings were, burnt offerings for sin were offered. Then there was the room, which is the sanctuary, if you like, which was split into two. You'd the holy place, and then you'd the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, separated by a massive curtain. The high priest only went behind that once a year to sprinkle some blood. Initially in the Ark of the Covenant, and then on the stone slab where the Ark of the Covenant used to sit to signify the nation's sin and sorrow and repentance for what it had done. But the rest of the time, out in the courtyard, this massive altar where people would come and say sorry to God for their sin and for their wrongdoing. And then after that, at the end of the morning and the end of the evening sacrifice, one priest would be selected. All the priests from that division would go into the holy place, and then at the right time, all of them would retreat. Except one, whose job it was to sprinkle incense on the coals at the altar of incense, the smaller altar that was there in this holy place, and the menorah with, you know, the candlestick that was there lighting it. And it was Zechariah's turn. It is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This was his moment. This was his time. This was the high point, the zenith. It didn't get any better than this time, this side of heaven. And yet, he almost missed the blessing of God. You can be the presence of God and not receive the promise of God. You can be in that place and all of a sudden, he's doing his level best to almost derail it. Here's the man of God at the high point of his ministry career, yet at the same time, he's nursing disappointment, he's nursing shame. For he and for Elizabeth, it was the fact that they didn't have any children at that time. And at that time, people would think that if God wasn't blessing that area, it's because there was something wrong. Now, we know that wasn't necessarily the case. He's there in the presence of God, the holy place, offering this incense on the altar. The apex of the daily morning or evening service. He then has an encounter with an angel, bringing God's word, bringing God's prophetic plan for Zechariah and for Elizabeth's life that is going to heal his hurt, that is going to soothe his shame. Yet he was willing to allow doubt to derail this divine directive. It says there in verse 18, as he's there and all of a sudden he has this angel, this man of God, Gabriel, which is what his name means, stand there in front of him, declare the word of God, declare truth from God. And Zechariah's response is, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well on in years. I mean, talk about playing the missus a compliment in the house of God. Now, God is okay with seeking confirmation. depending on the attitude and the heart that's there. You know, and the way that, it's rendered in the text in the original language is really Zechariah almost figuratively folding his arms and saying, I don't believe it. It ain't going to happen. There's no way that could happen. Ever been like that in the presence of God? For whatever reason. Here's the answer. Here's a solution to your to the longing of your heart, to the cry of your life, and you're giving it, It's almost like, bless me if you dare. It's almost like, I refuse to believe it, God. Here I am on the day of all days, in the moment of all moments, and here where nobody else should be here, I've got this angelic visitation bringing the word of God, fulfillment of scripture in my ears, which includes and involves me, and I'm giving it, I wonder how many of us at times go, because of hurt, shame, disappointment, frustration, stuff that we're harboring from the past. And oh, we pray about it. Oh, we ask God about it. But when he comes with the answer, how are we doing? How are we doing, church? But God is more committed to his promise and to his gift than you are in the prayer who asks for the gift and the promise to be fulfilled in your life. Now we need to be true and right to the text, and the text would declare that this is a one-off prayer that he's praying. It would be a formula prayer, if you like, a written down priestly prayer that he would be praying. You know, and the tense that it's written in would suggest that it was a one prayer. So he would be praying for the redemption of the nation. He would be praying for the fulfillment of prophecy of Old Testament scripture in the nation. He wouldn't necessarily be saying, God, I want to be a dad. God, I want a baby. God, you see my wife. God, you see all those that are calling his names and giving us a hard time. He wasn't necessarily praying those kind of prayers. But as he prayed for the redemption of the nation, as he prayed for prophetic fulfillment, God says, okay, you're part of it. Yeah. God says, I'm counting you in. God says, you're part of the solution here, my man. And your boy. What do we do when God begins to say, I'm going to answer your prayer, but you're part of the promise? It was their promise fulfilled, but it was the nation's promise fulfilled. You know, you can try and talk yourself out a blessing, breakthrough, and a baby. But God can supersize our prayers. You know, when you go into many fast food outlets, and they would say to you, do you want to go large on that? And you look up at the board, and you see how much large costs. And then you're in your pockets looking to see how much is that going to cost? Because there's always a cost, isn't there, to go large? God can supersize your prayers. He goes large. See, the Bible says God can do exceedingly abundantly, more than we could ever ask or imagine. So as vivid as your spiritual imagination is, as much as you maybe think as though you've heard something from God, he can do more. He can supersize your prayer. You just need to be willing and able to receive when God comes and says, okay then, let's go for it. Do we realize the potential of our prayers before a loving Father and a mighty God? I'm not sure that we actually do. If we're being honest, I'm not sure that we actually do. Otherwise, we'd be praying more. Our arms would be stretched open that little bit more. Yeah? We need to be asking God about that. Do you realize the potential of our prayers before a loving Father, mighty God? They prayed for a baby, but God was going to bless them with the Baptist. Zechariah was to be the father of the forerunner. His job was going to be to nurture and train up this little bundle that was going to grow up into a man who was going to declare, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Who was going to baptize people upon repentance. Who was going to bring people back in line with the things and the standards of Scripture. Who was going to declare and be that hinge point between Old Testament and New Testament coming. Between the dawn of the age of Messiah, a promise that's not just looked for, but promise that's going to be lived in. Let me ask you, how do we steward prayer answering, greatest gift giving moments from Father God? Well, can I encourage you with a couple of things? Thanks, Jeff. Can I encourage you with a couple of things, church? Number one, keep praying till you receive your answer. Don't give up. Verse 18 tells us that Zechariah and Elizabeth were old and well on in years. You know, your biggest challenge is God's greatest opportunity. The more that it can't be you, the greater the glory to God. The more that it can't be you, the greater the glory to God. It is not too big, it is not too difficult for the Lord. Your life, your situation, those around about you, stuff that's in your future, stuff that's in your past, it is not too great and it's not too difficult from God. I've already heard about that prophetically this morning. So keep on praying till you receive your answer. Number two, position yourself as a worshiper. You know, verse 6 tells us of them, of this couple, that both of them, they were upright in the sight of God. They observed all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. They were from good stock. They were from good heritage. They were trained up. They knew how they were to live, and they were understanding of that and doing their best to live it out. They weren't perfect. They probably knew that they were under construction just like the rest of us. That was last week's message. The Amplified says they were righteous in the sight of God. They were upright, which was their attitude before God. They were observing in their activities, and they were blameless. They made sure they were right in their relationship with the Lord. You know, I often think about the same time he had been nursing this hurt, nursing this disappointment, nursing this frustration that God hadn't come through. God hadn't answered his prayer right then. He could have probably quit. He could have maybe deferred to somebody else. No, I'll let somebody else have their shot of going in there and, you know, and having that. Yet, at the same time, he allowed himself to not become bitter, but to move on and be better in God. Keep praying and receive your answer. Number two, position yourself as a worshiper. Number three, hear and receive the word of God. I've got hear and in block text and bold and underlined in my notes, because it's one thing to hear, it's another thing to receive. Because if you read back, you know, before verse 8, and this is going to blow your mind, before verse 18 is verses 13 to 17. I know, it came as a joy to me when I realized that. When Gabriel turned up, he said to Zechariah, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. He's going to be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, never to take fermented drink and be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, and will make ready a people prepared from the Lord." Now, if you're just reading that, you're thinking, oh, that's nice prose. That is littered and laden with Old Testament prophecy. Gabriel declares from the Old Testament, your boy is going to be the fulfillment. Your boy is going to be the forerunner to Messiah coming. All of that come before Zechariah is given it. That ain't going to work. God, you've got it wrong. We need to hear, and we need to receive. We don't let our doubts derail the divine directive that comes from heaven. It's laced with answer to prayer. It's laced with prophetic fulfillment, with practical healing and of restoration, the removal of shame, of prophetic insight into the next generation of their family's gift mix and ministry that is going to come their way. Zechariah heard it, but he didn't really receive it, because if he'd received it, he would have believed it and acted upon it. The fourth thing I want to say to you this morning when it comes to stewarding the greatest giving moments of promise from Father God: keep on praying till you receive your answer. Position yourself as a worshiper. Hear and receive the word of the Lord. Number four, don't put limitations on God's promise. And how can this be? How can I be sure of this? Amplified version says, by what shall I know and be sure of this? It's direct link to when Abraham was challenging God for his promise back in the covenant. And in the Old Testament. You know, how can I be sure of this? Because, you know, an angel standing before me when no one else is there declaring the word of God that is scripture but is also particular to the desire of their heart, because that ain't enough. Because he's in the presence, but one who comes from the presence comes and shares at this high point of his life and of his ministry, but it's still not enough for him to overcome his doubt in that moment. He can believe it for everybody else. He can believe the broad brushstroke of reformation and return and restoration of the nation and of worship in the nation. But for him, it's like, no. We need to be in a place of moving from how can this be to how will this be. You see, in just a couple of verses on in Scripture, I know it's the scene changes in Luke's Gospel, but in Luke chapter 1 and verse 34, that this messenger angel comes to Mary, a virgin in the town. It says, greetings you who are highly favored, the Lord's with you. Mary's greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this may be. But the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. Just the same as with Zechariah, don't be afraid. You found favor with God. John's name means God is gracious, or God's favor is on us. And Winifred's picture was about favor as well, wasn't it? You know, being God's favorite. You will be with child and you'll give birth to a son. You'll give him the name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked, since I am a virgin? Or some rendition would have it, may it be to me, may it be to me, just as you've said. A massive world of difference from a man who's got his spiritual arms folded saying, how can this be? It's never going to happen. To the girl in the village, blown away, concerned of what this is going to mean, but at the same time saying, how will this be? One says, can God really do this? The other asks, this is happening. God, what's it going to look like? Faith is in operation in Mary's life. See, Zach got caught up with the mechanics of procreation rather than resting in the miracle of the promise. You know, he's focusing more on the testosterone than he is in the God zone. He's beginning to think, how is this going to work? How is this going to work? I'm not going to go into routine. He's old, he's well advanced in years. I mean, have you wondered how this message is communicated to his dearly beloved when he comes home and can't speak? Eh? I hope that Elizabeth's language of love was kind of touch and physical contact. Either that was a chalkboard and some diagrams that was having to be drawn. Don't disqualify yourself as God speaks in response to the longings of your heart. We can believe it for everybody else, but when God speaks to us, we say, I know that's not for me. It is for you. His promise, his word, that is for you. What's been spoken over your heart? You know, there is a joy and there is a peace in resting in the promise and in the timing of God. God is able. Do not underestimate what God has got planned for you and your family. This is a parent or a future parent getting a heads up for their kid's future. Everybody who is a parent will know that that's a heavenly trust and a responsibility that goes with it. I want to suggest for each of us that are parents in this place today that I think that God wants to help you in your parenting. That's a relief, isn't it? I think that God wants to partner with you in his promise for your children. I think that God wants to stir the pot of your life and encourage you once again. Maybe you've not seen the answer to prayer for your kids yet. I want to encourage you. God is able. And to keep on praying for them. A little later on, as we come to an end, we're going to give opportunity for parents, if they want some prayer for their specifically to enable them to pray for their kids and to see the plans and purposes and the promise of God, some of which has already been spoken over their family's life, to see that coming to pass. Four little headings I just want to mention to you that will help you in that from Zechariah and Elizabeth. Number one, they needed to hear the promise. That was the immediate. Number two, they then needed to hold on to that word. Who knows that between hearing and receiving and the actual fulfillment of it, that the enemy wants to come and steal it away. Yeah? Doubt to come in. Questions to come in. Almost a dilution of your of faith beginning to creep in those moments. And there was a moment between the promise of God speaking, saying the answer's on the way, and a 9-month wait before John came. Need to steward that word, pray into that word, confess that word, declare that word over their life, over that waiting period of that 9 months. They then needed to help their child. So they're hearing the promise. They're holding on to the word. They're helping their child. They're training up their child in the way of the Lord. And then number four, they hand over their son to the ministry that God has called them to. Don't hold on and say, no, John, don't go away. It's going to be rough. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be, you know, a little bit scary for you. They're saying, this is the moment. This is the moment that God spoke to me about in the temple. This is the moment when I was ready to miss it and God came in and said, you're not going to miss it. This is when I was praying for the promise for the nation and God said, the answer to my prayer is going to be key to the promise and the answer to the prayer for the nation. And not just the nation, but in declaring Jesus then to history and humanity, to the world, to you and to me. Can I encourage you with your kids' parents to hear God's word? What's God saying? Hear the promise of God for your children. Maybe you need to remind yourself of what that is because it's maybe been a few years. Maybe they're grown up, they're not kids anymore, but who knows, they're always your kid. Doesn't matter what age you are. I had to get a picture of my granny saying, you're never too big to get a clatter around the back of the ear. They're always your kids. Amen. Hear the promise, remind yourself of the promise of God. Can I encourage you in this moment, some of you may still be in there of holding that word, praying over it, asking God, seeking God, God, what are you saying for my kids? Maybe you've never done that before. God, what are you saying about my kid? Who are they going to be? What are they going to be? What are they going to accomplish for you? What are the gift mix and personality you're going to equip them with for make them who they are? So you're going to be praying for yourself, saying, Lord, would you help me? Because you've given me this massive responsibility of this little bundle that's now beginning to grow up. Can you help me to train them in the best way that I know possible? Can you help me to equip them so that they can make the most in life, but not just the most in life, the most in God's plan for their life? Because what does it profit somebody to gain the whole world but forfeit their soul? And then to be able to hand over your child to that plan, to that purpose. To be able to let them be mature, grown up, fulfilled in ministry and entering maybe baby steps in the ministries and the plans that God has got planned for them. See, John the Baptist was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. We and our children as kids and as they grow and mature into adults, the Bible says we are to go and make disciples. We are to declare too. We are to declare the good news of Jesus. We are to teach people to obey. We're to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As John was to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb from before his birth, but you and I aren't excluded from the involvement and the activity and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, Jesus said, disciples, wait in Jerusalem for the gift my Father promised, and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the very ends of the earth. Paul writes to the Ephesian church, he says, be being filled. Jesus speaks and he says, the comforter, the counselor, the Holy Spirit will come and he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. We are invited to experience the promise of the Holy Spirit to enable the promise of God that's over our life, the ministry of God that's over our life, in our children's life to be fulfilled. As a parent, don't stop praying for your children. Don't stop modeling active faith and encouraging them and training them in the ways of Scripture. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. We don't know the impact of our lives as part of God's promise. Parents, don't be scared. As parents, there will be partnership with the Lord to fulfill it. You're not on your own. Holy Spirit will help you, will guide you, will train you, will empower you to bring care, correction, discipline, love, fulfillment, opportunities, all those things that comes to raising and bringing up a child. Raise them in that environment of godly principles and godly promises. And all this happened so that a centuries-old prophetic promise could be fulfilled, that the forerunner could announce the coming of the Savior of the world. I say it again. God is committed to his promise. God is hearing your prayer. Even if when he comes with the answer to your prayer, with a promise for you, if you're like, nah, he's committed to it. He'll bring you to an opportunity where you can experience his greatest gift, and that is for all of us, every single one of us. His greatest gift is an invitation to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our own Lord and Savior. That's the greatest promise that we could ever have, is a relationship with him. Worship team, I'd like to invite you to come back. We're going to have a moment of response right now. We're going to have a moment where we're just going to wait on the Lord in prayer. A moment for your opportunity to perhaps respond at this time. You know, if you are, I'd love to be able to pray, get the ministry team to be praying with particularly with parents, for their children, for the promise of God. But at the same time, you may feel as though you've got the promise of God and you're in that waiting period. You, there have been things that have been spoken over your life and you haven't seen them come to pass yet. You may find it useful to come and to stand at the front this morning and to receive some prayer from my friends in the prayer ministry team. And prayer ministry team, I want to invite you, as soon as the worship team start playing, I want to invite you guys to come and to be down the front. Church, I want to ask you and invite you, if you feel you need the need to respond this morning. You don't have to. But I think it would be beneficial to you. If there's anything about this morning, it's been a little bit about responding when God speaks. Let's stand. Let me pray. If you want to team, we'll lead us, ministry team, you come forward. If people need to respond, then you begin to respond. At the same time, if you've never put your trust and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're saying, I want today to be a day where I say yes to Jesus and receive his freedom, his peace, his forgiveness into my life, then I want to invite you to come. Nothing special about that, being down the front. It's only there's more space here, and it's better rather than praying in stairwells and keeping that free. So if you need to respond this morning, you begin to come. Father God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you your word is living and is active, that your word cannot return to you void and empty, but will achieve that which you've got planned and purpose for it. Father, I want to pray in the name of Jesus that anything that's of Gordon would fall to the ground and die. But the thing, the seed of your word that is from you, Lord, would find resting places in people's hearts and in people's lives. Father, I pray that in these moments there would be your promise affirmed. The prophetic call of God over lives and over families, Lord God, would be established and reestablished in this place. Lord, that in these moments that we would hear heaven for us and there would be a yes in our hearts. There would be a this is going to happen. God, what's it going to look like? So, Father, I just pray your blessing on every head and every heart that's gathered here this morning. Lord, I pray that if it's appropriate for us today, that we will respond in our hearts and with our feet too. Father, I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you need to